Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how come humanity is in such trouble? I can't say lately, has always been in such trouble. Who are we in the evolution of life, of the universe? Why do we have a planet that has so many dysfunctional people who don't seem to care about being humane? And so many of us do and don't understand it. It seemed natural that everybody would want to care for everyone else and do their best, be honorable. But we don't see that. And why? So to answer this question, I've asked Adria Estrebu to come back to help us understand what the angels have to say. As Adria speaks with the angels, they speak with her, and maybe we can get some higher information about all this. Wouldn't that be nice? So Adria, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, I'm delighted. Delighted to be here for the hard-hitting questions about humanity.
Yes, and how hard can, I mean, that's hard. And we're in times of such chaos and confusion and seeming inhumanity, which isn't new. I mean, thousands of years on this planet, people have harmed one another in great ways. So what do the angels have to say about us and why we're still in such conflict and why there are still so many people among us who seem to not care?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a new topic for me. And I find that, you know, that saying, I don't know, the more that I know, the more I know that I don't know, something like that. The more that I learn about humanity and angels both, the more I realize I think my concepts were so simplistic in the past. So lately I've been very curious and the angels have been teaching about the divinity of humanity. You know, what is it? We're so used to turning to God or angels or galactic beings or something that we might consider to be above us or wiser than us or more pure or something. I became curious and the angels started speaking more about, yeah, but what is it to be human? What is lovely and divine and just gorgeously unique about being human? And one of the things that they've said, which really touched me, is that, yeah, there are other races who might consider themselves, and here I'm talking about galactic races, superior to humans because they can build spaceships or they have a higher intellect. But what they see in humanity that they don't see anywhere else is this compassion and the natural outflow of love from the heart. So it's very human, they say, to reach out and just help someone or do something for someone else just because of that prompting of this outward flowing love from our heart, right? We just want to help someone because it's sort of innate to us. We have this gorgeous outflowing of compassion and love. And that, they say, is very precious. It's very human.
And yet it very likely is true pervasively, even among people who kill others because they love their families. They love their tribes. They love, you know, their political party or whatever. But they also, because they have tribal mentality, it's like, if you're not in their tribe, they would just as soon kill you. And we see that happening in many ways, maybe not literally killing, but certainly acting in ways that harm people fatally. And so why is it that, okay, so we are people who care about each other, but some people are collective minded. They care, they want to care about everybody. They want to include everyone. But other people are tribal and they only want to include the ones that are in their family of friends or company or sports team or whatever and kill everybody else. And so how does that jive with how wonderful we are?
That's a new question for me. So I'm gonna pass that right to the angels and see what they say. This is Ariel, Angel Ariel. Yeah, so you need to here step back a moment and recognize that none of this is real. So if you were to create a novel, a very, very good book with a juicy storyline where the hero was to grow and learn and conquer and succeed, you would need in a story like that some violence, you would need some tension, you would need some grief, or else there's no story to be had, there's no conquest, there's no learning adventure. So the human experience, what we mean by not real is, as a soul, you come into this life untarnished and you leave it that way. If you had some tarnish, let's say, when you leave from actions you had done or not done or something that was done to you, some impressions that you gathered, those come into a place of deep and profound healing. So you come back to what you might call a purity or a wholeness of soul after leaving this life. But in between, what is it that's so unreal? In other words, doesn't touch the soul at a fundamental level is this game experiment of how do I learn and grow? How do I become even more compassionate? For some souls, like Buddha, let's say, he grew and learned about his compassion by witnessing starvation and poverty of great magnitude. He didn't learn about compassion by watching the little birds feed one another, right? So sometimes this sort of violence, struggle, strife in this unreal, quote unquote, unreal life is a setup to learn something, to grieve something, to open up to a new gift within yourself. So angels are often blamed, we would say perhaps rightly so, for seeming quite clinical. Why aren't we saving everyone? Why does anyone have a broken leg? Why does anyone die of cancer? Why does anyone have a car wreck? Where are the angels, right? But understand that this is a human life you're in. You came in for some experiences of diversity and trauma, for growth, for healing, and for expressing your compassion. In most cases, that's part of the story. So if an angel were to intervene and keep your life at a very even keel where nothing ever went wrong, quote unquote wrong, what kind of a life would that be? Well, some would say, fine, sign me up for that life. That sounds good. And some do have lives like that, you know, very uneventful. But for those of you who are here for more of a challenge of soul growth and learning, things don't look like that. They look quite unpleasant at times. And the angel's role here is not to come around pleasantizing everything, right? So when you step back and see that it's unreal, tribal violence or violence of any kind takes on a certain poignancy that you can recognize, oh, well, when I saw a movie that had some episode of violence and then that character grew into a world leader because of it, yeah, that was very moving to me. I see that. So if you can step back a moment from your life or even looking at humanity so close in, you can see there's some value to the structure of the polarities that create so much push-pull on this planet. That's a bit of a unique experiment. Not all planetary systems have this kind of built-in violence, let's say. When you have so many polarities working all at once, violence is a natural byproduct. You see it everywhere on this planet, in nature, in the cute furry creatures who are eating one another. You see it everywhere here.
It's interesting that this planet is developed for growth through pain and suffering. And,
yes.
And yet in humanity, we expect more of ourselves. We expect more compassion, more empathy. And yet maybe it's just a weak survival mechanism that brings out the lowest common denominator in some people, that they act atrociously and don't seem to have any humanity in them. They're not looking to, for instance, help the poor, or if anything, they don't care. And who are those people? Who comes into this world here to perform evil?
This is Ariel, Angel Ariel. So we'll answer the second question after a moment here. Notice that in order to have a Christ and a Buddha, you do need to have the serial killer. So again, when you're dealing with polarity, when you're dealing with exalted and something called good or evil, both exist. Hot water and cold water both exist. Or you couldn't have one or the other, it would just be called water. It was all one temperature, right? So this notion of good and evil is also very personal to humanity, to this setup of this planetary system. So for better or for worse, that's the planet you find yourself in. So who are these souls who would come to perform evil? They also, from angelic perspective, come in as untarnished souls. So again, if you use the analogy here of a movie script of an actor, you don't really blame that actor if he killed someone in the film. You don't think, what kind of actor would play that role? So from angelic perspective, the purity of soul is intact. And we do have assignments, humans and angels both. Angels don't work on the good-evil spectrum quite so much like that. But for humans, there are assignments sometimes which look quite dark, which look like the killing of other souls. But from angelic perspective, it's the killing of the body, right? The soul is not touched. So again, if you can think of it as temporary, what is this so-called evil? Certainly, there is pain and suffering that is a given on this planet, yes. But we don't carry the judgment, which is sometimes very, very difficult for humanity to understand of angels. We don't carry a judgment against anyone here. So that person last week or so who just killed some people with a gun, we have the same love for him.
Well, that's challenging. But I understand that. But what about our soul development? Many of us seem to think in more compassionate ways. And maybe there's a purity to all souls, but maybe some of us just can't think in darker ways because maybe we've had too many lifetimes of darkness and have grown wise from it. And perhaps, you know, this wisdom that we have from our own previous suffering in other lifetimes has brought us to a place where we want better.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the idea is that many of these souls who are harming others are souls that haven't gotten to that point yet where they feel, you know, that they should be more humane.
This is Raphael, Angel Raphael. Yes, absolutely, yes. So there is a bit of a strata. We don't judge it really as higher than, but we would say there are souls here who are playing out in their current lifetime something more like an animal existence, as we said was very natural for animals to be eating one another and so on. So, but then there are those who, when you speak about evolution of soul, there are those who are very curious, interested to grow their souls and very, very curious about this question of could humanity rise up above what you might call tribalism or survival or eating one another, that sort of parallel to the animal world. And yes, from angelic perspective, that's quite possible. And there are many, perhaps more than ever before on the planetary system now engaged in this. We wouldn't call it a battle, but the deep, deep curiosity, is this possible to uplift out of this? Could a human be something else? And yes, we do find that's possible from our vantage point. And it does look like humanity is moving in that direction, though perhaps not all humans would evolve in that way. It's more interesting, let's say, to more humans right now to lift into something else, like to take off the cloak of everyday life and food and survival and come into what is the most divine, purest expression of human. And we would say, yes, it has to do with the transfer of knowledge. It has to do with the transfer of heart energetics towards others. And you're coming into that, many of you. So that's not a forlorn wish. If you wish that for humanity, we do see that brightening of humanity right now.
Yeah, that's very important. And I've been doing a lot, even a radio show recently, on us coming into a fifth dimension reality where we don't operate at the same level of self-knowing. It's a greater knowing of self as one with all and as integrated in all of life.
This is Raphael. Yes, the collective becomes more important as humanity evolves in this particular way. The awareness, I'm not alone here, the awareness that knowledge is shared, and not necessarily in traditional ways like books and talks, but that knowledge is shared becomes more important in this kind of uplift, yes.
Right, and that's fascinating. How we are evolving. So I want to know from these angels, are there those among us who are of that greater light of wisdom and sight that will be leading the way more for us, like we're in the same way that these angels are supporting us through their knowledge?
This is Ariel, Angel Ariel. Yes and no. So again, the collective becomes more important. So the idea of a leader that's very, very bright, like a Christ or a Buddha, is a bit outmoded for the current. We're not just saying that for those of you who follow Christ or Buddha, you're on the wrong path. That's not what we mean. But for a current physical leader to be so bright that it's so clear they are the leader and the others are the follower, that's a bit of an old paradigm.
I was thinking more of a broad number of people like that.
Yes, absolutely.
Stand out as unique, uniquely, but be so bright that so many people just keep finding more people who are wise and we want
yes,
to.
Yes, the collective brightness. Yes, yes, this is Ariel. But like that, more like 20,000 Knights of the Round Table, you know, all of these circles where the leader, it's not really one leader, it's a strong, strong circle of leadership and knowledge and growth. And then so many of those around the planet. So yes, a collective brightness, which is astounding. Humanity certainly, yes, is brighter now than ever it has been.
Yes, and maybe that's why we're suffering so much, because we're so much clearer about what's wrong.
Yes, this is Ariel. Isn't it mostly the case that a teacher or a good marketing person will take you to the point of pain in order for you to recognize how much you need the thing that they're selling, right? So in this case, what humanity is selling itself or growing into is, look at this kind of senseless violence and tribalism. Do you want that anymore? And then, you know, the audience is supposed to respond, and they do, humanity here now. No, we don't want that anymore. So then you look to what else is there? Yes, it's true. The poignancy of this moment of highlighting the dark, let's say, is to step out of it, because humans now have much, much more empowered free will. So if if each human or many humans can see the darkness a little more clearly now in order to choose not to be in that, that is one of the main modes for growth right now. Yes.
It feels to me like a lot of institutions are really artifacts of the past and are still trying to maintain a structure of institutionalism, let's call it. And the future really can't be as dependent on power structures that are just political and fight and they're winners and losers. I would think that we should all, those of us who are realizing what is truth, beauty, and goodness for each other, should find each other more and work in smaller communities of light where we can trust each other more.
Absolutely. Yes, this is Ariel. This is the new way. Yes, it's well described like that. Because you, and we mean you, Peter, but we also mean each of you, is you are who are important now. Your light is so bright. So trust that more than old structural systems, yes. Because most, not all, but most structural systems were designed to make you feel small. There's something else above you, right? So this is the time for you to shine bright, for each of you, to come into your natural brilliance, divinity of soul, that is your birthright, to have that not be so shadowed by structures and old ways.
Yes, and so bright new minds are what we need. And so I have a lot of faith in young people today to realize the inadequacies of the current world that we live in and start building more trustworthy, it's called neighborhoods even, and smaller communities of like-mindedness that we can believe in.
Yeah, this is Adrienne. I'm so excited for that, to see what this current and the next generation coming in now, particularly what they're going to build in our world here, because I think they're coming in without any of this stuff that we're trying to unlearn here, right? All these structures and ways of being. They're just coming in with all the gifts and the ways of working in the new energies. I'm so excited for that.
Yes, and but I'm grateful to have lived through this life of and still have lots of room, but I'm getting to an age where I don't want to reinvent myself. I really like who I've become and the world I live in with the people who I love to be with. And I'm grateful for that. And I think we should all strive for that too, is just build communities of love, of people we care about and want to build our future with. And I think that's a real good purpose to hold.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So how can our angels, what advice would you give us to how to take the next step?
This is Ariel, Angel Ariel. This is the moment of your empowerment right now. So trust that. Trust your heart and what it knows and what it wants. In all of this deluge of information, so many voices talking right now about what is real, what is truth, what is yours, what is not. Trust your own heart about all of this, because the empowerment of the human, again here, the sacred human, the empowerment of that is what's going on. So that means the choices that you make all the difference. That means that you are now empowered as a soul to step out into your own life and perhaps into the lives of others if you're called to do that in ways that are broader, more brave, more true to yourself than ever before. Now is the time for that. Now is that moment.
And
we're not waiting anymore.
Well, we're each designed to pursue certain paths forward differently from others. What is our proclivity to What do we desire that we want to do personally for ourselves and the world that might be very different from each other, but that's what helps.
Yes. Complimentary.
Right. And to honor that, to not compare ourselves to anyone else, but to find our deeper longing for our lives, to hold on to strengths and purposes that are dearest to us, and to find them. I mean, not everybody knows who they are and how they are until they start taking steps forward, and they watch where their steps take them, and they watch who and what turns them on.
Yeah. That's what I'm finding now, very, very much so. It's taking steps towards things or away from things. That's in my own life when I'm saying that. That's how I really know. And I would have thought I'd know myself by now, but in the new energies, there's so much new to explore. And part of it's, how am I in this new energy? Right. And it's really not a mental or conceptual thing where I just know. I'm walking towards things and seeing how it feels. I want more of that or less of that. It's really fun. It's scary and fun.
Good. I'm glad you see it that way. You know, it's not, because it is a confusing world, but we can only just take the next step.
Yeah, it's very personal. Growth feels, and enlightenment and all of this feels very personal in the last year or two. Like it's really right. It's right here in this moment with what I choose.
And each step is a new discovery of what the next step will be.
Yes.
And we can have long range plans too, but often we get detoured along them anyway, because we meet people and have opportunities that suggest different paths.
Yes, oh my gosh. I don't know how many years I've heard this, you know, be in the present moment. And I thought I knew what that meant, you know, like, oh, okay, meditate more and don't think so much about the future, worry so much about the past. But the present moment has taken on such a poignancy and just a starkness that's just, now I just feel like, oh, that's what they meant. You know, when you're really in the present moment, you have no idea what the next moment's going to be. There's no 20-year plan. No way. The present moment does not allow for that.
To handle right now.
Just now. That's all you have. That's incredible.
We've really come to the end of the show. Adria Esterbu, how can people reach you?
My website is wingsound.com, WINGSOUND.com.
That's wonderful. Adria, thanks so much for being back on Energy Stew. I love talking with you.
And
with
my pleasure.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.